Tom Slate, President and CEO of the U.S. Grains Council.
Tom, I'd like to ask you a little bit about some analysis looking at some foreign exporters, some competitors of the U.S., and ways that they are promoting their ag products and why this is important for the U.S. to pay attention to.
Well, Mark, I think that there was a study done that was looking at how do we stack up in terms of the U.S.'s support for export market development as compared to our main competitors. And I think the study showed that what we had always sensed, that our main competitors, particularly the European Union, Australia, Brazil, places like that, have taken significant steps to ramp up their spending on export market promotion, because what it indicates is that competition continues to increase every day. And, we've been sort of fighting this battle with a static level of engagement for quite some time now.
So highlighting something that you've long suspected, what's the next step? Now that you have some hard numbers, some statistics in front of you to present, where do you take the conversation?
I think it's just one piece of trying to inform decision makers about the importance of staying in and supporting export market development, specifically through the Foreign Market Development Program, FMD, and the Market Access Program, MAP. The Farm Bill debate is getting serious now, and these two programs, Export Market Development Program and the Market Access Program, two incredible success stories of a public-private partnership in Export Market Development Program. Both of those programs end, one FMD ends on September 30th, 2018, not very far away, and the other one ends on December 31st, 2018, unless they're reauthorized in the Farm Bill.
You live and breathe export promotion, Tom, and so you've seen these programs, their successes firsthand. Could you talk in any more length about how successful these federal programs have been?
Sure. I mean, there's a study that showed that, they returned 28-1 in terms of return on investment for American agriculture as a whole. But I want to go beyond that because, programs that we've been involved in, the U.S. Grains Council has been involved in, you've seen transformational change in terms of specific sectors. I'll take Korea's example, transformational change in their livestock production sector that has created what now is the number three market for U.S. Coarse grain exports. And it's that sort of thing, that being there over time, year in and year out, that allows us as U.S. agriculture to, yes, seize those short-term opportunities to make sales, but also, number two, to develop transformational change that creates long-term loyal markets for U.S. products.
So the need is to get in front of lawmakers and share this with them. Are there other things, though? You hear about farmers that go on trips to other countries and these firsthand accounts of what buyers are thinking regarding U.S. products. So, what are the other things that can be done besides reaching out to your elected officials?
I think it's, Marcus, like I said earlier, with my kids, I always say the world belongs to those who show up. I think having, farmers and U.S. agriculture be present in these marketplaces around the world to meet the competition, to talk about U.S. supply capabilities, U.S. reliability, U.S. quality characteristics, U.S. interest in working with them in the growth of their industries together. This sort of thing creates, separates ourselves from our competition and keeps those markets growing for U.S. agriculture and sustains U.S. market share. And so, again, we have to look at where we're going to see the market change continually over time. The market always does change. You just look at examples like the fall of the Soviet Union or the transformation of Western Europe and the growth of Asia, these major market factors. We need to be present, and the programs need to be adjusting to those needs. And so we're looking at places like Middle East, North Africa, Africa as a whole, India, other countries within what we call frontier Asia, Myanmar, Pakistan, Bangladesh, places like that in addition to our long-term markets, we need to be continuing to expand our market reach, because you know, U.S. farmers continue to be some of the best in the world at producing what they do.
Hopefully this question makes sense. When I think about promoting a product, you think about marketing, advertising. As far as how the U.S. promotes its agriculture products, would you say that the approach is a little bit dated? Are there some things that are happening elsewhere that are making, say, something from the EU more attractive than that from the U.S., or does it really just come down to the quality and the price trumps everything else?
I'm going to answer yes to both of them, because yes, price counts and quality counts, but yes, there's growing influence in terms of you know, sort of infatuation, particularly in food trends, infatuation with you know, perhaps you know, products from the European Union, you know, as being more trendy. Certainly, there's a lot of interest in you know, U.S. and Western products in general, just as there's increased interest in Asian products here in the United States. So the world is changing to more of a, I like to say the West is eating more like the East, and the East is eating more like the West. And these are food trends, food consumption trends that smart agribusinesses and smart producer organizations are going to sense and try to tap into to sort of, you know, go where the consumer trends are headed, and making sure the products that we are supplying meet those changing interests.
That's interesting. Last thing I have for you, Tom, getting back to the MAP and FMD programs, we've seen the president's budget come out, proposed cut to crop insurance. We hear about no new dollars in the next farm bill. You know, with all of these things circling the debate, the prospects of seeing the needed investment in these foreign marketing programs, I mean, how are you feeling right now about those?
Well, it's a pretty similar feeling, because previous budgets have done the same thing, you know, X'd out the MAP and FMD program. This has happened several times over the course of history. But always the conversation as it unfolds, I think a lot of folks across the country, no matter what state it is, there certainly are agricultural interests that know their growth is going to come from the international marketplace. Again, you know, 95% of the world's population lives outside the borders, all that sort of thing. That people know that. And so the conversation always has to come from, whether it's a specialty product or a high volume product like grain, they know their growth in their marketplace is going to come more likely from the international marketplace. And so the conversation always starts to develop. Well, we need to be, you know, we need to stay in there. We need to stay competitive. This is where the growth is. And, you know, Congress has usually come forward and supported the program quite fully.
Tom, anything else that we need to touch on today?
I think, you know, the only other thing I said, you know, it's a very complicated world in terms of trade policy, in terms of changing consumer demands. And there's never been a more important time than to stay engaged in these market changes.